Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Friday to you guys. As I hope you're all getting ready for the weekend. Me, I'm off today from work, which is great because, well, I get to spend most of my day at the courthouse trying to get my my tags done for work. Good times. So hopefully I'm not there all day. And I didn't get out and venture out into the world for a little bit, which means I'll probably grab something to eat and come home and lay down and, I don't know, look at Twitter probably, look at porn, who knows. So, starting off, Penn State has opted, well, not really opted, they're pretty much saying they're not going to explore renewing the Pitt series until 2030, which means we got about a good, well, we got these next two games and another 10 years. So, by that time, I'll be, let's see, I'm 38 right now, so I'll be 50 by the time this gets explored. Hopefully, age 50, I'm going to have better shit to do than, you know, well, I have better shit to do now than worry about a rivalry game. So I hope, hopefully by then I'm not really caring about the sports world, as, you know, maybe not, my kids will be grown up by that time. Well, most of them will be. I'll have one still in high school, you know, by then. So, you know, the sooner I get them out of high school, the sooner I can, you know, start doing, I don't know, go back to living before kids, I guess. Oh, well, I got that work thing I gotta do as well, and probably don't need help with college, and yeah, never mind. But for Pitt, you know, without Penn State, they're doing just fine. I mean, before this four-game series, and, you know, enjoy the next two games. I like to see Pitt at least one more win out of this, so we don't hear Penn State fans ragging about how they went 3-1 against us. 2-2, you know, there's nothing much, not much bragging there at all. It's just, hey, we were for 500. It just becomes a pissing match of whose wins were better, you know. I mean, if Pitt would have had a defense, you know, 2 years ago, they would have blown Penn State out of the water, but. Well, that and plus the passing game really didn't pick up at that time, and eventually it did. And of course, Penn State would say, well, we won, you know, 33-14, and, you know, our score is better, you know, so, you know, we technically won the series, so we'll have, you know. Now, of course, if we shut them out or do something this game here, and then they beat us by three, well, you know, we had eight linebackers out that day, and, you know, we were replacing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and some of our coaches were sick that morning, and, you know, James Franklin had the runs. I mean, that's pretty much how that's going to go with them. It's always some excuse, always somebody to blame. You know, or it's the officiating as well. The refs in that game had ties to Western Pennsylvania. You know, one guy's a Pitt fan. You know, we looked him up on the Allegheny County Assessment website, and we saw his house and he had a Pitt flag, and we don't like that. And, you know, we're gonna write the NCAA about this. They do stuff like that. I remember when they got screwed over. When they thought they got screwed over in the Capital One Bowl, this was like back in 2001 or whatever, 2002. They lost to Auburn. They were trying to boycott Disney because they were so pissed off over it, the officiating in that game. I mean, they just do stuff like that. So yeah, if you piss them off, they'll come and search. They'll try to dig up your personal information. We saw that with the guy with the Joe New T-shirts. They dug up his website and found his information. And you know, I could fault that person for that. I don't know if he was really, but at the same time, I don't think he expected somebody to dig up his personal information when he did that stuff, that type of retaliation. But me personally, if I'm going to do something like that, I'm going to cover my ass any way possible. I'm going to, take my name off of stuff. But until then, Pitt has the backyard brawl. I mean, that's really what Pitt should be more focused on from now on. Just play West Virginia and be done with it. They hate us. They want to play us. Let's play them. You know, they're more fun to hate than Penn State, really, to be honest with you. You know, at least they bring the beer. And, you know, corn cob pipes and all that other happy shit that we like to, make fun of them for. So, all right, enough of that. Pitt Hoops, Capel's obviously been doing this thing. Reaching out to, obviously, the past players. You know, they have that little alumni, tournament where they, play for money. He's reached out to that group. You know, he's bringing some transfers in to visit Pitt this weekend. Obviously, the big thing is, big need is Pitt. They need some size up front. Unless we're just going to use all guards, coming up. Malik Ellison's going to come back, and that's great. We've got more depth at guard. And, I read somewhere on Twitter that, regardless, it's Twitter still. It supposedly hit interest in Villanova. And if that's the case, I can understand him wanting to listen to other schools. They just won a national title. So he can sit out here and probably play for a national championship. Because, Villanova is like a Fortune 500 company. It just runs itself, as quoted by a certain person who loves March. Like I said, Marcus Carr, he's going to Minnesota, which is kind of odd, but whatever. That's his college career. Let him have it. He'd probably be better off staying at Pitt, but oh well. Enjoy Minnesota. Enough of that. As I look back at all these transfers, I look back at last year when we had the Cam Johnson mess, and revisiting that, I think obviously a lot had happened there because you had, for one thing, these guys are leaving, have to sit out a year. And the coaches really can't complain about it because this is an NCAA issue, not a school issue. Whereas, Pitt was letting Cam Johnson transfer, but to anywhere where he wouldn't have to sit out a year, but ACC schools, he had to sit out a year. And like in the Big East, they had that transfer rule where if you transfer to another Big East school, you had to sit out 2 years. I mean, those things happen. But of course, social media decided they wanted to drag Pitt, and which is what happened. And Stallings said he was just following a role, but he could have just lifted it himself. I mean, if you look at Stallings' history and then his mannerisms after that, it seems that he was the petty one, and obviously our AD was the one covering for him because even she stuck up for him. I thought maybe it was a university thing, and they were just doing their they were enforcing it, but part of me now, how it looks, how things have unfolded, it makes me, it obviously points to Stallings being petty about the whole thing, and he had a right to be, because he was very generous about, what he was doing, but he probably should just learn to let it go, and after a while, I think probably Heather had to intervene and just say, hey, you know what, we don't want to go end up in a courtroom over this, just let him go. So that's what they did. Because we had the North Carolina game, and they kept asking Stallings about Cam Johnson, and of course, he just alluded to the whole questions. You know, obviously he could have handled that better. I mean, he didn't have to talk about it. He could just say, you know what, I'm talking about my players. And I guess he was trying to do that, and it just came off really bad. He was talking about, you know, Cam Davis. But it happens. As we stick down Pitt basketball, I figure since we did Pitt football in the draft, I figure we'll do Pitt basketball in the draft as well. From 2000 present. And there's really not much, obviously, to look at for Pitt Hoops in this whole group. I mean, the crown jewel of the whole draft class for Pitt is Steven Adams, and he was only in Pitt for a year. But, I mean, the guy's just gotten better every year, and he got himself a big contract, and he's just been a badass in the front court. He's just gotten better and better. Man, can you just imagine if he'd have stayed in Pitt? And developed like he did. God, he'd been awesome. But things have weird ways of working out. So, the rest of the class, obviously, not much. I mean, we have, you know, you have Sam Young. Well, first off, let's start off with Aaron Gray. He got drafted, and he spent some time with the Bulls. He was all over the place, and I think he finished up with the Raptors, and he had to retire because of some condition he had. But he played a piece, stuck around for about 7 years, and he caught himself off a nice living. So you can't, you know, no complaints for that. I mean, the guy worked hard. He was a hard worker, and he was going, in order to stay late, he was gonna keep working hard, and he kept doing it. I'll give him that. He wasn't very mobile, but he was just a big body, and really, in sometimes NBA, that's all you need to be is a big body. And you had him, but then of course we had our little class of Sam Young and DeJuan Blair, and you know, I had a lot of high hopes for this group, and well, I think we all did. Now, Sam Young played about 4 seasons. Last I saw him, he was guarding LeBron in the playoffs. And after that was that. He was done. He's now overseas playing somewhere. He got drafted by Memphis, but just never, his career never picked up. DeJuan Blair had flashes, but he spent a lot more time at Pop's Doghouse. Greg Popovich, that is, than anything else. I mean, he was a great fit for that group. He was, you know, he was gonna get really good coaching. I think 1 year he showed up out of shape, and that was, you know, pretty much when it happens with Popovich, you know, that's, you know, you're screwed. I mean, he was named starter at one time before the season began. He was named the starter, so he had that going for him, but didn't work out. He was back on the bench. And then eventually, I believe, you know, he parted ways and ended up with Dallas. And he did pretty well with Dallas. And I thought, you know, that he seemed to flourish there in that system. And they played the Spurs in the opening round of the playoffs, and he had a hell of a series. But they opted to trade him to Washington, where he was just a bad fit there. Then Washington later that season dealt him to Phoenix, and he got released, and now he's overseas as well. So, yeah, not good luck for either one of them. Then, of course, there's Lamar Patterson, and to be honest with you, I was really surprised that he even got drafted in the first place. I mean, when he was announced he was drafted, I was like, holy shit. Wasn't a bad player, Pitt, but I just didn't think he was NBA-type material. But, you know, he never really made it onto the Hawks roster. I mean, they signed him recently, but they released him again. You know, and he's just been bouncing around. Now he's over, you know, now he's, I think, either in D-League or he's overseas again. But, I mean, he was drafted. He played in the D-League, and he started out pretty hot, and then he fell off. And then he ended up, and then they sent him overseas to play to develop his game more. And I figure once that happened, we pretty much were going to see much of him in the NBA after that. So, you have, you know, I already talked about Steven Adams, of course. And one guy I did leave out, and he was before Aaron Gray, was Chris Taft. And Taft played one season, and he got, you know, he got his money. It's just the problem with Chris Taft is he did really well in his freshman year at Penn. I mean, he was doing great. Second year, it seemed like he lost focus, like he was bored out there. And if you look at, and turns out, we all found out that he had a back condition, and pretty much he had to go pro after that, because a lot of us wanted him to stay and develop his game more, but he had a back condition that wasn't going to get any better, so he had to go. So he went and got paid, and played until his back gave out, and that was that. I mean, that sucks. But he came to Pingo's. He came back to Pingo's degree, so good for him. So yeah, Taft, Aaron Gray, Blair, and Sam Young, Steven Adams, Lamar Patterson, and there's other guys that are around. Jamel Artis, I guess he has signed as undrafted free agent. He's hovering around. He's in Orlando. He played some games for Orlando this past year. Same with, he's on the same team as Kem Birch. Kem played 1 year. Well, not even barely a few games. He transferred out. Spent 2 years at UNLV, and was it UNLV or was it Mexico? It was one of two. Maybe New Mex, I think, is what it was. It was somewhere in the Mountain West he was at. And he did pretty well. I think he averaged a double-double a game, but he really wasn't ready to go pro yet. And he took some more bad advice and went, and you know, he was overseas for a bit, and he in the D-League. And now he's in the pros, and he's finding himself, so good for him. I think Brandon Knight spent one game in the NBA, and that was it. Then he went to coaching. I thought Julius Page could have been an NBA player as well, but I believe he got hurt his senior year, and he just wasn't the same. Actually, I think he got hurt his junior year, and he just wasn't, you know, he just never really was fully there his last year. But he had so much potential as well. But, you know, Julius played overseas as well, and actually, pretty much all of them have. You know, there was talk about Carl Krauser being drafted, but the guy was 26 years old. I mean, not a lot of 26-year-old seniors get drafted. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for Pitt Hoops in the draft. I mean, of course, when you think of Pitt in the NBA, I mean, obviously Steven Adams sticks out. And, of course, there's Billy Knight, and then there's Charles Smith. There's those guys. So, I mean, Billy Knight obviously was, you know, Charles Smith actually had, you know, semi-decent careers. Although Charles Smith will be known for the Bulls and Knicks game where he, all he needed to do was put the ball in the hoop, and he got blocked several times. I think he got blocked by just about everybody on that team when that happened. But yeah, that's one thing Charles Smith will be remembered for, unfortunately. Then there's Jerome Lane, who he played a few seasons and he started off hot, but then he kind of faded, and he played overseas. I think he was out by the early 90s, and he played overseas till about 2000. So he was, you know, he spent some time. But other than that, I'll end this podcast here, because there's really not much to talk about. But I figured I would cover the hoop side of things. Although I could have added women's basketball. I mean, there's Shabonte Zelis, there's Mercedes Walker, and I believe there's one more player as well, but her name escapes me. Is it Kiesel, maybe? Or was it the one that got drafted? One of the, or was it the one that transferred? It was one of them, but I won't continue on because I'll just show my ignorance, you know, ignorant knowledge of Pitt women's hoops. So, anyways, guys, have a good weekend. Hail to Pitt. Bye.